Why haven't these clothes all rotted away a long time ago? Magic. Can't you feel it? I bet this whole room is just stiff with enchantments. I could feel it the moment we came in. Any of these dresses would cost hundreds of pounds. Look at their faces, Polly. They were nice people, I think.
They seem nice enough. Except this group.
Oh, yes. You'd have to mind your P's and Q's with them.
And look at these people.
Oh, cruel, I'd say.
Doesn't it strike you as odd? Those down there look nice. Up here they look unhappy, then cruel. And these look as if they're in despair, as if they've done dreadful things and suffered dreadful things.
Oh, and look at her.
She's so tall.
And beautiful.
Do you think so? I don't.
She must have been the queen, or someone who was very important. You can tell just to look at her. Oh, I do wish we knew the story that's behind all this. Let's go back and look at that table sort of thing in the middle of the room.
The thing in the middle of the room was not exactly a table. It was a square pillar, about 4 feet high, and on it there rose a little golden arch from which there hung a little golden bell. And beside this, there lay a golden hammer to hit the bell with.
I wonder.
There seems to be something written here, on the side of the pillar.
They both looked at it hard. And as you might have expected, the letters cut in the stone were strange. But now a great wonder happened. For as they looked, although the shape of the strange letters never altered, they found that they could understand them.
Make your choice, adventurous stranger. Strike the bell and bide the danger. Or wander till it drives you mad. What would have followed if you had? No fear, we don't want any danger.
Oh, but don't you see it's no good? We can't get out of it now. We shall always be wondering what would have happened had we struck the bell. I'm not going home to be driven mad by always thinking of that.
Don't be so silly, as if anyone would. What does it matter what would have happened?
I expect anyone who's come as far as this is bound to go on wondering till it sends him dotty. That's the magic of it, you see. I can feel it beginning to work on me already.
Well, I don't, and I don't believe you do either. You're just putting it on.
That's all you know. It's because you're a girl. Girls never want to know anything but gossip and rot about people getting engaged.
You looked exactly like your uncle when you said that.
Why can't you keep to the point? What we're talking about
is... Exactly like a man. And don't say I'm just like a woman or you'll be a beastly copycat.
I should never dream of calling a kid like you a woman.
Oh, I'm a kid, am I? Well, you needn't be bothered by having a kid with you any longer. I'm off. I've had enough of this place and I've had enough of you too. You beastly, stuck-up, obstinate pig. Where's my yellow ring?
None of that!
Ow, you're hurting me! Let go of my arm!
Not until we see what happens after I've rung the bell.
No, don't! There. That was a terrible, beastly thing to do. If you've bruised me, I'll... Diggory, what's happening?
The children were facing one another across the pillar where the bell hung. Suddenly, they heard a soft noise from the end of the room which was still undamaged. They turned, quick as lightning, to see what it was. One of the robed figures, the furthest one of all, the woman whom Diggory thought so beautiful, was rising from its chair. When she stood up, they realized that she was even taller than they thought. And you could see at once not only from her crown and robes, but from the flash of her eyes and the curve of her lips, that she was indeed a great queen. She looked round the room and saw the damage and saw the children. She came forward with long, swift strides.
Who has awakened me? Who has broken the spell?
I think it must have been me.
You? You? But you are only a child. A common child. Anyone can see at a glance that you have no drop of royal or noble blood in your veins. How did such as you dare to enter this house?
We've come from another world, by magic.
Is this true?
Yes, it is.
Let me look at you. You are no magician. The mark of it is not on you. You must be only the servant of a magician. It is on another's magic that you have travelled here.
It was my Uncle Andrew. Whoa!
There is great peril here. The whole palace is breaking up. If we are not out of it in a few minutes, we shall be buried under the ruin. Come.
The Queen led them from the Hall of Images into a long corridor and then through a maze of halls and stairs and courtyards. Polly thought she was a terrible woman and wished she could get Diggory alone long enough for them both to touch their yellow rings and get away from her. Diggory, meanwhile, thought the Queen was wonderfully brave and strong and wished she'd tell them the story of the place. She did tell them certain things as they went along, but not what either of them wanted to hear.
That door leads to the dungeons.
Oh.
That passage leads to the principal torture chambers. This was the old banqueting hall where my great-grandfather bade several hundred nobles to a feast and killed them all before they had drunk their fill. They had rebellious thoughts.
They finally reached the main entrance where they were blocked by two doors made of something dead black. Either ebony or some black metal which is not found in our world. They were fastened with great bars, most of them too high to reach and too heavy to lift. The Queen said something Diggory and Polly couldn't understand. And made an action as if she were throwing something toward the doors. The doors trembled for a second, as if they were made of silk, and then crumbled away till there was nothing left of them but a heap of dust on the threshold.
Oh my!
Has your master magician, your uncle, power like mine? That I shall know later. In the meantime, remember what you have seen. This is what happens to things and to people who stand in my way.
They were now in the open air. The wind that blew in their faces was cold, yet somehow stale. They were on a high terrace looking down on a great landscape below them. Low down and near the horizon hung a great red sun, far bigger than our sun. Diggory felt at once that it was also older than ours, a sun near the end of its life, weary of looking down upon that world. And on the earth, in every direction as far as the eye could see, there spread a vast city in which there was no living thing to be seen.